Greetings, everyone, and welcome to Rootscast. I'm Jeff Daverman, the creator of Root Concepts, owner of Infamous Network, and we are here discussing the ideas behind Root Concepts and how it applies to the lives of our fan base, the people that we work with, and the folks who love what we do and want to use our artwork to express themselves and succeed in their own artistic endeavors. Hello again, everybody. You are tuned in to Rootscast. I'm Jeff Daverman, your host, and I'm here in Never Better Studio once again. I am joined by Douglas Howarda, like they call him in Vietnam. And we're going to be talking about empowerment psychology. So how you doing today, Doug?
I'm very well, thank you.
How are you feeling about your dart game?
And my dart game is never better.
So we had a good match of darts a little earlier today. We've been playing some darts and talking about a lot of different things about what it is you have been working on with empowerment psychology. And I just want to let the audience know that since our last broadcast, the Empowerment Psychology Facebook page has posted some videos of some talks that you gave in Hanoi, correct?
That's right. Yeah, over a period of 4 months, I did four lectures to a group of about 50 people, and this is all providing a framework for me that I'm planning to use to write a book in the near future. And so it really does help for me to talk about this kind of thing, to clarify my thoughts and to expand on the ideas that have come out of the work I've done.
Yeah, and so in the last episode, if you recall, We did touch on that a little bit. You did talk about some of the ideas that you are going to be putting into your new book. And we also talked about the writing that you did for my blog on neverbetter.com back in 2014. And we touched a bit on the issues of willpower, and understanding willpower, and then also how that relates to the idea of acceptance, and then essentially how emotion plays into how we regulate our emotion in respect to willpower and acceptance.
That's right. All of these are now under the category of Begin Within, which is part one of my lecture series and book. And so it's predicated on the idea that we can increase our self-knowledge and, more importantly, our self-awareness. And by doing so, we can essentially become more skillful at how it is we make choices and understand the ways in which our behavior is a reflection of our inner life and the awareness we have of it.
So on the idea of self-awareness, that seems like a pretty central theme of all of the ideas that you're wanting to share in your book. Mm-hmm. What about self-awareness is important to know? Also, I want to just, on a second part of that question, you use the phrase emotional regulation an awful lot. So I'm wondering if you can just kind of speak to both of those terms.
Okay. Well, let's go to the self-awareness. I sort of talk about two things. Self-knowledge, which is kind of an understanding of the type of person we are, the characteristics we have, our tendencies to behave in certain ways. And self-awareness, which is a much more here-and-now understanding of what it is that we might be, what might be going on in our inner life. And let me just quickly break that into three parts. Our inner life, or our just call it our psychology, has three primary components. One is the thoughts or the thinking or cognition, the way in which our brain thinks things. Part two is our emotions or feelings or what might be called our affect, the emotional part of who we are. And the third is our body or our senses, our direct experience of life through the physical interface with the experiences we're having. And when those three things are part of our awareness and they're relatively balanced, we sort of exist in the center of that triangle, and we operate from something that's been called flow or intuitiveness. And so what I try to do when I'm working with my clients or when I'm talking in these lectures is to help us to understand the relationship between those three things. Now, we could approach it from any one of those three things. We can look at how our body gives us information about what we're feeling or what we're not feeling. My tendency, or the most favored way that I approach a lot of this, is to look at the influence of our emotions. For example, when we're having strong feelings, often our emotions start to dominate our thinking, and often we cut ourselves off from our feelings. Our physical sensations. We get detached from our body, we get up in our head, and we get wound up because our feelings are starting to generate thoughts that are consistent with whatever that feeling is.
So it seems like with self-awareness, there's a lot about self-awareness that can inform emotional regulation. There's a lot there that we have to gain by being self-aware, by knowing our feelings, correct?
That's absolutely correct. There's times if we pause and we ask ourselves, what am I feeling right now? And we can come up with answers. I'm feeling angry, I'm feeling sad, I'm feeling guilty, I'm feeling frustrated. Then we can ask ourselves a second question. How strong are those feelings? How intense? And I like to sort of think of it in terms of a scale of 1 to 10. And when we understand how strong those feelings are, then it also gives us information as to what we might do about it. For example, if somebody just cut me off while I'm driving a car and I had to hit my brakes and my groceries spilled on the floor, you know, made a big mess, and I'm angry about that. Then understanding the level of intensity of that emotion tells me, oh, I need to calm down. I need to put this in perspective.
Is self-awareness only just knowing your feelings, or is there more to it than that?
It's knowing the relationship between our feelings and our thoughts and our body. Okay, it's knowing all three. And like I said, we can access it from any one of those sources. Sometimes I know I'm angry because of what I'm thinking. I want to kill that guy. I might not be able to say, well, I'm angry, but I might be able to say what my thoughts are telling me. Or I might feel it in my body in a way where my muscles are tense, my hands are clenched. I'm at a point where my body is taking on that emotion. So those three things are always related, and it's very important to connect the three, and sometimes to move to the one that we've been unaware of. Like I said before, a lot of times, particularly if I'm having strong feelings, it starts to generate thoughts, and I start existing more in my imagination, and I get a bit detached from my body. I become less aware of the here and now present senses that connect me to the time and the place that I'm in.
So what would you say is the most direct impact of self-awareness on behavior?
Well, I like to say that we get to make the choice to respond rather than to react. Okay, a response is usually when our thoughts and our feelings and our body are balanced in such a way that we can pause long enough to consider the circumstances and to make a choice that is congruent with who we are, what our values are, the things that we would want to do.
It seems like, you know, kind of ancient wisdom, kind of a lot of things that the masters through the centuries have talked about. You know, you can pull on a lot of core religious beliefs, and it does come back. It certainly has an Eastern feel to it, primarily to me, I guess, you know, the being present, being aware, self-awareness. I'm wondering if you can expand on what you consider to be the primary connection between self-awareness and emotional regulation.
Probably the key here has to do with emotional intensity, because emotions are actually a very important set of information. I have fear because I have a perception of a threat or a danger. I have anger because I perceive something to be not fair or not right. I have guilt because I've violated my own value system or my own conscience. I have regret or frustration when I've been thwarted in my attempts to accomplish something. So every emotion is really an appropriate response to the circumstances of living life. Okay? Where we get into trouble is when our emotions get to a level of intensity where they start to dominate our thinking and they start to disconnect us from our bodies. So you can imagine, for example, someone who's in a rage. They may say and do things that if they were relatively calm, they wouldn't say or do. It's almost like this rage starts to dominate their thoughts and their behaviors.
Is that from a lack of awareness, would you say?
It's from a lack of self-regulation, which mm-hmm. comes from the lack of awareness.
Mm-hmm. So again, how would you describe the way that awareness informs emotional regulation?
It's having a relationship with ourself where we are close enough to our inner life to be able to understand in the present moment what's going on. So someone who's not very tuned in to themselves is often reacting to things in such a way where their emotions might dominate their behavior. And so it's those pauses, those extended moments when we can catch ourselves escalating emotionally, that we then gain the power to regulate how we feel, to calm ourselves down if we need to say, excuse me, I need to step out for a minute, to understand that our imagination is taking over. For example, with anxiety, it's very common when a person starts to feel more anxious is their thoughts start to become much more imaginal and they start future tripping or bringing in all kinds of fears about what might happen. Well, we have the ability to go, oh, that's happening. My emotions are starting to generate a thought process that's not very helpful to me, and I can stop that. I can calm myself down. I can put things into a broader perspective.
So that's where kind of the idea summarized as begin within, mm-hmm. you know, comes right. in, mm-hmm. right? Where you do have the ability to allow yourself to become aware of where you're at and bring a more of a sense of calm to situations that, you know, where you're triggered or where you're feeling discomfort or whatever, right? Okay, so listen, I just wanted to move in over here then to this idea around how external forces really can also come into play and pull you away from the begin within, right? I mean, as a distraction, is that right? Can you just speak to that a little bit?
Well, this is a really big topic because we do tend to be externally focused and highly reactionary, okay? We're not often socialized to be aware of what it is that our own thoughts and feelings are telling us about ourselves. We're often socialized to be engaged in the things that are happening in the world around us, and we often have to deny our own feelings because of the need to socialize in the appropriate way. So when we are externally focused, we could say that the outcome of that is an inner neglect. We don't know ourselves. We don't tend to ourselves. We don't care in a compassionate way for ourselves. And so we are much more inclined to be sort of bounced around in life, reacting and responding in ways that are meant to adapt to a situation rather than reflect a deeper sense of who we are and how being authentic in our response to the circumstances of life comes from a deeper inner source. So actually part three of the lecture series and the book that I'm writing has to do with the pressures that exist in the world around us to conform, to fit in. Right. Carl Jung talks about it as the massification, you know, that powers exist in the society around us, treat us as a unit, and we lose a deeper sense of our own value and self-worth. He calls it a spiritual crisis, that by not knowing and valuing our inner life, we are much more easily influenced by the external influences. Let's take persuasion, for example. I mean, advertising, marketing is all based on, you know, getting people to do things that somebody else wants them to do, buy things, and yeah, our society is largely based on how vulnerable we are to those set of choices, and it often comes from a lack of self-awareness and self-knowledge.
Yeah, and so I'm just wondering if you could go into just a little bit into how emotions exist.
Yeah.
You have some really good ideas around, we were talking about before we started recording, that emotions exist on two planes. That's and right. So I'm wondering if you could just explain that a little bit.
Yeah, two and maybe more than two, but the two that I really want to focus on are the specific emotion we might feel when we are triggered by a circumstance or a situation. So most of us can recognize that, you know, if we're startled by a dog that comes out from around the corner barking angrily, you know, adrenaline kicks in and we're fearful. And that's specific to that particular time and place. But it might also be that we have a subtext or a subconscious set of feelings that exists that get brought to the surface, particularly when we are feeling intense emotions. So let's use that example. I'm walking down the street and all of a sudden this dog comes rushing at me and I have this huge jolt of startle response, fear, and then I see that the fence is going to keep the dog in, and my fear might subside relatively quickly when I realize I'm safe. But if I've got a history where I've been bitten by a dog, or someone I know has been injured by a dog, or
I've some previous trauma.
That's right. Then I'm engaging those emotions in a way that make it really difficult for me to move through that emotion and regain my sense of stability or security or safety, because I already hold this idea that dogs aren't safe, and I'm not safe around dogs. And so that emotion then becomes a part of my reality when I'm triggered. And most of us, we call it emotional baggage, the part of our experiences that are unresolved as we go through life, that then get triggered when we're having direct experiences in the here and now. And it can be fear, it can be anger, it can be guilt, any emotion you can think of. We have the capacity to be holding a lot of that feeling. We could even say that we, at a certain time in our life, might be anger-based or fear-based. And that's a reflection of that more subconscious level.
And thus the need for self-awareness and emotional regulation.
That's right. Because what will happen is if the old emotions, the emotional baggage, starts to add to the feeling we're having in the here and now, generally it's going to escalate. So we're going to find ourselves feeling more emotional intensity. And that's where we get into trouble. Above 5 on a scale of 1 to 10 is where most of our pain and frustration and difficulties come in.
So you mentioned just a moment ago about having a base, mm-hmm. an emotional base. You mentioned shame-based or fear-based.
Right.
And so you have this thing that you've created here around a hierarchy of emotion.
Right.
Hierarchy of emotion. So I wonder if you could just explain that a little bit, and then we can go into it for the last little bit of the show here.
Yeah. The idea is that we have a subconscious set of emotions that reflect experiences we've had and ways that we've come to think about ourselves. And those emotions come into play in ways that we might be very subtly or even unaware of. And the reason I put them in a hierarchy is because depending on what the emotion is, it serves to actually be a filter that reduces the degree to which we feel free to be fully alive. So at the bottom of this hierarchy is shame. If a person is shame-based, essentially it means that they don't feel a value or a worth that allows them to deserve what it would be to experience life in a positive and joyful and full way. It's a direct reflection of a belief or a feeling that says, I don't deserve. My being, my essence, doesn't deserve to live beyond this feeling of shame that is so limiting.
Okay, so before you go into the rest of the bases on the hierarchy, I wonder if you could just list them a moment for the audience, and then we can go into that a little bit more.
Okay.
So shame is on the bottom.
Yes, and if you just think of it as a, here's this, you know, life force. You can think of it as a wind, or you know, some kind of energy that's moving, and it hits this filter, and the filter, you know, blocks out a lot of the strength of that energy. So I often think of it that way. And shame is the is the filter that filters out the most. Above that is guilt. Above that is apathy. Above that is sadness. Above that is fear and anger. Above that is anger and frustration. Okay, and each one of those in that hierarchy is less of a filter. In other words, a person who might be frustration or anger based, okay, actually has more life energy than somebody who's shame or guilt based. Okay, and I can explain a little bit more what that means.
Yeah, and why don't you do that in just a moment? I'm wondering though if you could. So shame, guilt, apathy, fear, and anxiety, and sadness, and anger, mm-hmm. all are, as you mentioned, this filter, like this, it sucks your life from you. And mm-hmm. so I was just wondering if you could touch on very briefly kind of the flip side of that. What are the emotions that, if those filters weren't there, mm-hmm. What would that allow for to be more, to have a more full experience of life?
Yeah, the image I have is that you know, this bottom one is quite small, and the filters are like concentric circles that get broader and bigger as we go up, and that once we get past what we would consider the more negative or undesirable emotions, things we wouldn't necessarily want, we start going into feelings like desire and pride, which have sort of both sides to them. We can have too much desire and it becomes greed and lust and the kinds of things but we can also feel the value of wanting things and seeing that desire is a good thing. And pride, similarly, we can have too much pride, you know, too high on the intensity scale, and it can be a limiting thing. But on the other hand, pride can be another synonym for confidence or self-valuing. Mm-hmm. Above that becomes courage,
yeah.
which is sort of a challenge to life. It's to say, okay, it's an emotion I have that comes with having to overcome things.
Yeah.
And then we hit kind of a neutrality, which is an interesting concept, where we're not actually feeling much experience of emotion. And it creates an openness and often a place where broader considerations can occur, where it's an open-mindedness. And above that, we start going into concepts like willingness, acceptance, reason, love, joy, peace. And at the very top of this whole chain is enlightenment, the sense that we can sort of move beyond the experience of limitation. And it's, you know, fully encompassing. So,
and so how would you connect that to self-awareness? Just to bring it full circle here as we round it out.
Well, the idea of equanimity is a value that I think can be attained. And it is attained when we can understand the emotions we're having such that we can mitigate or minimize the degree to which they limit our experience. So on one hand, we want to feel all the feelings that are appropriate to the experiences we have, but we want to feel them at a level of intensity that allows us to keep things in perspective and to be able to make choices that are responses that reflect who we are and ways in which we function in the world that are in line with our own ideals and values. And so equanimity is the idea that our inner world remains calm no matter what it is that's happening in the outer world. It's a stability or a place within ourself that invites the higher kinds of feelings like love and joy and peace, but it no longer has to suffer the consequences of these negative feelings, particularly the ones that are the residue, the baggage that we carry along, the shame-based or the fear-based kinds of things.
Right. And so clearly the people that we know who are able to do that are generally the ones that we look to as the wise wise people that walk among us and have gone through history. It just seems like the combination that you're talking about there is what we all aspire to, right?
So. Well, and therein lie the title and the purpose of my book, Empowerment, because I think these things, you know, we've been taught, and there's many ways to get to these things. But my hope is that my way of saying it and explaining it is practical and pragmatic enough for people to go, whoa, that's something I can do. That's something I can learn. Those are things that are actually possible. And I'm not saying anything new. And you're right. These ideas come from the teachings practices that have existed throughout time. But ultimately, thinking about how they might be relevant in the world we're in and how we can think about these in as modern day concepts.
Well, what's great is that you actually get to live this with your profession, where you actually get to work with people and you get to apply these ideas on a daily basis and actually see the effects on their lives and how they do feel empowered. That's, you know, what your goal is when they come to see you for help. That's what you're able to give them through these ideas, correct?
It certainly is a guide. It's just like learning anything, putting it into practice is the hard part. Organized around a lot of patterns, and it's understanding how to break those patterns and to apply what it is that we're trying to do. But yes, it's been hugely rewarding, and I would say that particularly this emotional regulation is something that many people have reflected back to me has been something that's been really helpful for them. So that's one of the reasons why I decided to bring it forward and to essentially teach it through these lectures and talking like this and ultimately the book that I'm going to write.
Well, speaking for myself, I can say that it's been helpful for me, and I'm really, really glad that, we get to sit down and actually get to expand on a little bit for the Ruthcast audience. Again, I want to direct everybody towards the Empowerment Psychology Facebook page and the videos that Douglas has up there expand on all of these ideas even further. And so if you're interested in that, you should go check that out. I'll put a link on the site with the podcast, so you can just go find it there. And then we're going to keep going on this. We got a little bit of time left while Doug is still here on this side of the ocean. And so we're going to keep going. And so why don't you just give us a little preview of what the next episode is going to be. Give us a little summary.
Well, we're going to stay under the scope of the heading Begin Within, because while emotional regulation is one of the key pieces, there's also the part that talks about how it is that we can understand the difference between what represents hypothetical realities, in other words, our imagination and the ways in which we come to create ideas that revolve around what should be or what might be or what could be, and how that can create expectations that are out of line with reality, and how when we line our expectations up with reality and we aim towards those ideals, then we've got that in the right order. But many people find themselves frustrated because life isn't the way they want it to be or they think it should be. And so that's what we're going to talk about next.
All right. Well, that's going to be great. We'll get that going here and get that episode up as soon as we can. Certainly looking forward to that. Thanks again. And thank you, everybody, for tuning in. Catch us next time on Ruthcast, and I'm going to go shoot some darts with Uncle Doug.
All right. Thanks, Jeff. thanks for letting me put these ideas forth. I greatly appreciate it.
All right. We'll catch you on the flip side. Thank you so much for listening and being a part of what we're doing here at Root Concepts. If you were inspired by what you heard, click the link in the show notes and enter your information so we can send you more great messages like the one you just heard. Until next time, this is Jeff Daverman signing off. Thank you for listening. Peace.